Welcome back to Movie Dumpster, Season 7, Episode 1. Today we're talking about Cool Runnings from 1993, directed by John Turteltaub. And today we're going to find out if this is John Candy's last great movie. I'm Joel Escola.
And I'm Sean O'Rourke.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, it's bobsled time! Jamaica's got the bobsled team. Oh, yeah, we're on the street, man.
Dory, Sanka, Yul Brynner, and the rest.
Yul Brynner?
Yeah, the character in the movie renames himself Yul Brynner. It's kind of a joke that they run with.
And he's bald?
He's bald. He loves Yul Brynner.
Yeah, I guess so. He's not. Is he Russian, though?
No, he's very clearly Jamaican.
I don't know. He's the first Russian-Jamaican, right?
The actor, not so much, but the character, absolutely. Yes, we are talking about Cool Runnings today.
Yeah. Cool Runnings.
One of my personal favorite films, one that I have a lot of history with. I was kind of gunning for this one. I was like, if we're going to do a January episode, which, by the way, if you're joining us on this seventh season.
Yeah. It's the seventh season,
I know, kind of crazy.
It's
lucky number seven.
Lucky number seven, dude.
In fact, I'm going to kiss my lucky egg in honor.
This is the one, Marv. This is the silver tuna.
Yes,
I'm telling you.
This is the silver tuna.
I got to do a little. You got to kiss that egg, dude.
What was that? A secondhand kiss we just had there?
It's all right.
Okay, the dumpster's getting hot and steamy
right
off the bat.
I'll kiss you right on the mouth later.
I needed to be a little hot and steamy in January, as I was saying.
It's still Chill Bill, man. Chill Bill Volume 3, because, like, it's still winter. Like, you know, I always do this every year. For the rest of my life, I'm going to do this. I'm like, oh, Christmas came, and there's and it's cold, and there's snow, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, there's another three fucking months worth of snow and cold and biting wind blowing into my face.
Chapped lips, getting sick again. Maybe another reason why we usually in the past have taken January off, but we're we're starting early this year again. The Olympics, I think, are this year. They might be the summer or winter. That was also kind of the antithesis of finally covering this film, but also just because I love it and I love John Candy, and we'll dive into why.
Absolutely, man. And you know what's crazy is, like, this is the first time we're actually releasing in January, because, like you said, we usually take the month off.
Right.
So, like, this is kind of a new thing for us. So it's exciting. We're starting earlier than normal, but we're off on a good foot.
We're sprinting, Joe. We're sprinting on the ice.
And just real quick, if you're watching on YouTube, you might see things are a little bit out of order or it looks different. That's because we've condensed all of the mainline episodes, the Movie Dumpster TM episodes, into one playlist. So all the playlists are changed up a little bit, but everything is still there. Mm-hmm. So you can watch and listen chronologically.
Yes.
Front to back, if you'd like to do that.
Yeah, we have, like, the shows are on there. There's actually a podcast tab now on YouTube. You can check that out. Book to the Movie, Talks from the Dark Side, Movie Dumpster Proper.
Yes.
And the rest.
However you consume it on YouTube, you can do that differently. Also, just side note real quick, if you listen on your podcast apps, specifically Apple Podcasts, I've been hearing that people aren't getting the episodes or updates or downloading them. Or, like, if you're listening to the show, it might not play the next one. It plays something completely different.
Oh, wow.
So that's a little bit of a pain in the ass. So you might have to go into your Apple thing and create yourself, you know, your own personal Movie Dumpster playlist and download the episodes to that thing. Or however you want to do it. Or if it's fine, I'll just shut up now.
Sounds good to me.
I heard that on somebody else's show talking about that, and I was like, oh, maybe we should address that if anybody's having that problem. Yeah, but before we get into this, before we get into the push carts and the bobsleds of Jamaica and Calgary.
Yes.
Crossover, question mark. If you want some more Movie Dumpster content, you can head over to moviedumpsterpodcast.com, or you can head over to patreon.com/moviedumpster. You can get an ad-free version of the show for only $2 a month. Plus, you get some commentary tracks. You get some live watch-alongs with us. You get all kinds of good stuff over there. So if you want to support the show financially, it's a really good way to do it. And we got some great stuff cooking up, so definitely check it out.
And if you want to keep up with updates on the show, you can always follow us on social media at Movie Dumpster. That's the same on X, Twitter, whatever they're calling it, Facebook and Instagram and Threads. And, you know, come follow us and get those updates.
You sure can. And as always, if you're watching on YouTube, please like this video. If you're digging it, subscribe, share it with your friends. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor and leave that 5-star review, because it really helps the show. That's worth more to us than you buying anything from us or signing up for Patreon. Please leave us that review. It really helps the show grow exponentially. So that'd be great if you could do that for us.
So Cool Runnings, like I kind of said in the intro of this episode.
Jamaica's got a bobsled team. So I'm going to interrupt you every time.
That's okay. There's a lot of songs and singing and catchy tunes in this film.
Yes.
But this is one I kind of grew up with big time. For some reason, we gravitated to this. I wonder if it was just because my dad was really into the Olympics, watched it every time it was on, especially as kids. Mm. And this movie came out, like you said, in 93, and it was just like it had the secret sauce. It was the Olympics. It had John Candy. The comedy was there. Some jokes were definitely going over little Sean's head and my brother's heads. But it was we liked it. I don't know. It was always on rotation. We had it on tape. Anytime we went to Florida, my grandparents lived in Florida for years. My parents would always drive down, do the 22-hour drive down to my grandparents' house in Florida. That was one that was always in there, in the van. We had one of those vans with the fucking curtains and everything. I forget what they're called.
Oh, my God. What, you had like a Winnebago?
It wasn't a Winnebago. It was like one of those vans from the 90s. The name is escaping me.
Oh, I think
me.
My uncle had one of those where it was like a luxury trip van.
Yeah, and you had like the seats would go down and turn into a bed and shit.
Yeah, oh, that sounds like a fucking Winnebago, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was a van.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe I'll throw a picture on screen for video in case anyone's yelling at me right now. It's one of these, asshole!
I want one of those now.
I'm sure they'll come back in style.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, yeah, of course.
But we put that on to the point where it stayed in the car because of that. Mm. So through my teens even, it would just be in that car because my mom had it forever. And
so you just left the tape in the car?
Just so we'd be going to McDonald's. Throw on Cool Runnings for 10 minutes. Get 10 minutes in.
Holy shit.
My mom wanted to punch us. We love that movie so much. Yeah. And I guess just kind of to get to the point, that's why I really wanted to cover this film. And I think it's one, it did fairly well at the time. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the history of this a little bit in a moment, but it made a lot of money.
Well, you said it was super topical. Like it was like the trifecta, right?
Yes.
You know?
Topicals, the Olympics.
The Olympics, John Candy.
John Candy's still a big deal at the time, unfortunately. Maybe just get this out of the way. John Candy passed 5 months after this film came out.
Which is crazy. It's one of his last movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I think the last two were Wagons East.
Wagons East is the movie that he passed away either during or right after they wrapped. I think it was during like the last leg of that. Yeah.
And Canadian Bacon. Now, I know Wagons East is a comedy. I'm not as familiar with Canadian Bacon. I'm assuming it's a comedy, but Candy dabbled in a lot of different genres. Yeah.
I never saw Canadian Bacon. I own Wagons East, and I actually fired it up. Just side note. I got it from a collection. This old woman had passed away, and I got her. I went to her home and like got her VHS collection because her kids were like giving it away on Craigslist or something, and that's how I found it. But like that particular copy of, I don't know where it is. It's over here somewhere.
Yeah.
But
in the dungeon.
But I had gotten it, and I was like, oh yeah, that movie. And then we were talking the other day, and you confused it for Almost Heroes.
Right, the Chris Farley.
With Matthew Perry and Chris Farley.
Which was his last, might have been posthumous, I forget.
Which is fucking bizarre that they're both like Western or Frontier-esque type movies.
Right, some of
the... Buddy movies.
Yeah, big guys too.
Two giants of the comedy and just large men.
I mean, not comparing John Candy to Chris Farley too much beyond that, but you know, it's a shame because John Candy, I mean, I didn't do heavy research on this before, and this is kind of, funnily enough, their first John Candy movie. Movie on the show.
Yeah.
Welcome to the MDU, John.
John's always been here. We had Uncle Buck jokes going back.
Uncle Buck.
For years.
Barf from fucking Spaceballs, of course. And, you know, Home Alone. He wasn't in Home Alone 2. He was in 1.
No, but he's great in Home Alone. Nothing but Trouble.
One of my favorite actors that was taken from us too soon. He's one I always think of.
But my point to that was, Wagons East just isn't a great movie. It's not a very funny movie. And, like, you're like, holy shit, you have fucking John Candy and the guy who played Prince John in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh,
he's like a very famous
Larry David's buddy, Richard Lewis.
Richard Lewis is in it, and it's him. It's John Candy, opposite Richard Lewis, and like you're like, this is gonna be fucking hilarious, right?
It's not.
No, it's not funny. Like I don't know what happened. Like it ran out of gas. It could be
John's health. I mean, he died of a heart attack. I know he was trying to lose weight. Yeah, I guess that's where I was going with that. Yeah. It's such a shame, but. This movie also recently just passed a 30-year mile mark, which I didn't realize.
Holy shit.
October 1st, I mean, as we're talking about it, you might have already put it together, Dumpster Dwellers, but October 1st, 1993, I almost said 2023, but 2023 would have been the 30th anniversary.
Crazy.
And with that said, this movie is kind of hard to find unless you have a Disney Plus subscription. I ordered a copy off eBay. I got the DVD. Joe, I know, also grabbed the VHS.
The tape, yeah.
But there is a Blu-ray out there that is a little overpriced. I don't think it was like in the hundreds, but it was definitely more than $15.
Yeah, we may or not be using a gray market copy for the episode.
For the clips featured in this video. Possibly, yes. And it is also one of those Blu-rays, again, maybe an image on screen for you video watchers here. Mm-hmm. It's one of those horrible cover jobs, because I had to look it up, where it's like, it's the cover from the VHS and the DVD, but it also then has an additional Blu-ray frame around it, so it's like a frame within a frame.
Why?
You see those sometimes? It's like...
Why? Why bother?
You couldn't even pay the junior designer to do this. You just fucking picked this off an old file and threw it on a template and called it a day?
I don't know why. They're like trying to preserve the entirety of the artwork rather than just like cutting a little bit off.
Yeah, and it's just weird to me. I mentioned that specifically because we do talk about the new Blu-rays or 4Ks that come out a lot of times on this show to kind of, you know, bring more life or life back to some of these older films. And it's kind of shocking to me on this 30th anniversary for a film that made, from what I remember looking up, like $150 million. And again, like we said, it was kind of in the zeitgeist there for a while. Disney just kind of forgot about this movie, or it seems like they have.
I think there's a few reasons why they might have forgotten about this movie. I mean, they made their money and they got the fuck out of Dodge.
There's definitely some jokes that are a little like, I'm shocked watching it now. Again, I said some jokes went over my head as a kid. They're funny fucking jokes, but I'm like, wow, I can't believe a weed joke is in this fucking movie. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but it's Jamaican.
Well, it is Buena Vista and then distributed by Walt Disney, but they own Buena Vista anyway, I'm pretty sure.
But before we kind of get into this, I guess the only other thing I really want to go into is the history on this.
Yes, this is based, Cool Runnings is based on a true story, Sean. Okay? It was the true story of this Jamaican bobsled team that against all odds came out of Jamaica and became the greatest Jamaican bobsled team of all time. And they won a medal.
Well, even in the movie they didn't win a medal.
No, they didn't win a medal.
That was like some Bad News bear shit. So literally like the coach of the actual team.
The joke there is none of this is true. it's fucking bullshit.
They actually did crash at the end. Yeah. Granted, it was actually only a two-man sled that crashed. And there actually is footage of the crash in the film, kind of intercut between the actors and the real footage at the end. But beyond that, it's totally fucking made up.
There is more true about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre than there is about Cool Runnings.
I think the Lawnmower Man's a more faithful adaptation of the original short story
than this source material.
I'm kind of okay with it because, again, I don't want to keep saying I like this movie and then we're going to talk about it. And then at the end, I'm going to say I like this movie and like putting the cart before the horse or the sled before the racer.
You can still like the movie. I think it's just hilarious that like for it was sold to us for years that this is what really went down.
And you do 5 minutes of research and you're like, no, it's not true. The end, they have a fucking title card that kind of explains things that's like only partially accurate. But this takes place during 1987. I think I even read that this is technically the second time that Jamaica went. Like officially in real life, but in the film, this is the creation of the Jamaican bobsled team.
What is the actual true story of why the fuck the Jamaicans made a bobsled team?
So from what I'm not gonna just sit here and read this off Wikipedia, I recall was that it was just something like, oh, we want to kind of get into this. It seems like there's room for us to be in here. And so, like, again, from what I recall, two of the people that were runners were actually part of the military's. Okay. I don't know if they were military sprinters or what. They're just the fastest people in the Jamaican military.
So they were sprinters. So there is some truth. There's a kernel of truth to the fact that the sprinter would make a good bobsled
guy. Think you're stretching that truth like fucking peat and butter, but yes. Or like silly putty. But yes, there's a kernel. There's a fucking kernel of a kernel.
Yeah.
And then they kind of picked up a few other people. I even think one of them was actually an American at one point.
That's hilarious. You said there was originally a white dude.
And
I love that. I love that wrinkle.
Yeah, they went to, it was to that Olympics, the Canadian Olympics in 87, and they originally went just for the two-man sled, but again, I don't remember all the details, but they were already there, and they're trying to get the four-man team, then they picked up some extra people. There's also like a big element of this film is how all the other teams are very unwelcoming to the Jamaicans, and I kind of want to talk about that when we get to that point in the movie.
Yeah, like they're the black sheep, or
On multiple, there's multiple layers to why they're disliked, which again we'll talk about. Yeah. But apparently, in real life, they were welcomed with open arms. Even the Canadian team gave them one of their practice sleds to kind of get into the competition. And I even read they did actually do a qualifier beforehand, and so like they were disqualified, but then put back in. So that is also accurate. But the all of the reasons behind that are totally not the same as in the film, where it's a lot of like bad blood between John Candy and this guy and them just trying to like be shitty or racist or something. It was like, no, people liked them. They just kind of sucked.
I love how they spin it into like this
feel good story.
Feel good, like beating racism and beating the odds and all this shit. You know, and it's like not true.
Underdog story, you know, which, you know, is classic in movies and yeah. in film. Movies and film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literature.
It is a feel good movie,
yes.
for sure. Do you know why they were disqualified, like in real life?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think it was just because it was very close to the entry portal. They entered late.
Oh.
But they argued it and they were put back in, kind of just. Got a little pressure. It wasn't like this movie where John Candy's like giving him the old 10th degree over it.
I cheated. That's why they kicked us out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But outside of those two things, and more so the crash, everything else is made up.
Yeah. Just the crash. They even use footage of the crash
yeah,
in the
what I'm
movie.
Saying. Yeah.
That's the only thing that's true.
Kind of crazy, because I always for years thought it was verbatim or close to verbatim. And I feel like maybe like 10 years ago, I probably looked it up. So I did know going into it that it wasn't accurate, but I guess I forgot how inaccurate it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, the coach, the team, was doing an interview years later and he said like maybe 1% of the movie.
That's insanity. Like, so this wasn't a big movie for me when I was a kid.
Okay.
I've seen it. The fucking trailer is on a bunch of yeah. other Disney tapes. Like, I don't know if
at
it's
at the
on,
front. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember exactly which one it is, but I remember watching the trailer for this a lot, but I maybe watched it once.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were coming back to it, when you came back to it for the show, for me to come back and watch it, I was like, oh, this is going to be really interesting because it's like a real life story of this Jamaican bobsled team. That's pretty fucking incredible. And then it's all bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I think I did say it quickly, but they basically, when they actually ran the races, they did very poorly.
Yeah.
They couldn't really get their shit together. I think they ended up coming in last place. Mm-hmm. But at least they got into the Olympics.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah. But with that said,
without all the extra drama of this, it's like, okay.
Yeah, I think that's why writers were hired.
Well, sure, but like, why even bother?
Made a good movie, but you're not wrong.
I agree, but just
why? Yeah, exactly. Why bother? Yeah, I imagine the real athletes are like, you couldn't even use our real fucking names. Whatever.
Yul Brynner.
Yeah, that cracks me up, man. Yul Brynner.
Yeah.
But I would love to give the plot crunch, but I feel like it'd be more interesting to hear your plot crunch on this.
All right. Well, real quick before we get into
okay.
it, I just want to note one thing. John Turteltaub
the director,
is
yes.
the director of this movie. Also, side note, Hans Zimmer scored this.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, holy shit,
so that's
Hans
like
Zimmer?
His humble beginnings. Well, he's working for Disney, so I don't know if it's that humble.
I ain't that humble.
So John Turteltaub directs this, but like I was going through, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And I'm like, he directed some of my favorite movies as a kid, like Three Ninjas. I didn't watch Cool Runnings, but I'll tell you one thing. I watched Three Ninjas on fucking repeat.
I know another one you definitely watched that I saw on his list. His first fucking movie is Think Big with the
Think
Barbarian
Big with
Brothers.
The Barbarian Brothers, dude. I was like, holy shit.
I was like, whoa.
It's crazy. He does Cool Runnings the year right after Three Ninjas,
which is
kind of weird to me.
He also did both National Treasure films with Nicolas Cage and the crew.
He did Phenomenon with John Travolta. He did Instinct with Anthony Hopkins. Mm. He did The Kid with
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Which I remember a little bit of that movie.
I remember being popular, but I couldn't tell you a single thing about
it. It's the fucking little kid from the Cat in the Hat, Mike Myers movie.
Oh, really?
And it's like Bruce Willis as a kid, and he like, I don't know what.
Gets big?
No, he like goes back in time or like hangs out with himself or something. I don't know. Some shit. But
this is The Meg.
He also did The Meg.
I kind of like The Meg.
How we went from Eli Roth to John Turteltaub, I won't know, but okay. He's the guy you call when nobody else wants to fucking do it or something falls through. He also directed an episode of the Rush Hour TV series.
The pilot, I think
and
it
I'm
was,
like,
yeah.
Wait a second. There was a Rush Hour TV series? Oh, my goodness. Those you
I think
talk
that was
about,
right before COVID, I think it came out.
You want to talk about movies that we need to get to? I think we need to do the Rush Hour trilogy plus a little bit of that TV show.
Trilogy. I kind of like the first two, and I know people that like that third one, but that third one is just like, the boat already sailed by the end of two, and we're just like fucking swimming to catch up, but okay, we'll hold that thought.
I got news for you. We watched all three, not like last year, because Julie had never seen them, and like...
Even the first one doesn't hold up as first well as
one
I remember.
Is, the first one's good, but it's fine, you know what I mean? And the second one, you're like, this is fine.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll hold that thought for future reference.
Yeah. Yes, so the plot crunch of Cool Runnings. Well,
let's hear it, baby.
So we have our main character, Darice. I guess he's our main character.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a sprinter for Jamaica, and he wants to get into the Olympics just like his dad. But he ends up running this race that would get him into the Olympics, and this guy that he's running with trips him and one other dude, and they all three of them fail.
Yeah.
Whoever that Jamaican guy is running down the track to go to the Olympics, well, that's a whole nother story. That's a story for another time. Yeah. But so they find out that, like, or Darice finds out that, like, John Candy was friends with his dad, and John Candy won all these gold medals, and it's all for, like, bobsledding. And Darice is determined to go to the Olympics, even if it's for bobsledding, because he doesn't care what he's going to do. He's not a boxer. Okay, he's not a whatever the hell the other competition is that he wants to get him in.
Fencing maybe or something.
I don't know about fencing.
But it was something. Maybe not for the winter.
For Jamaica, it was like boxing and something else.
Yeah, surfing, I guess. Yeah, or actually, that would be a good idea. I should have done surfing.
I don't know if that's an Olympic sport.
Would have got Cool Runnings. Anyway, continue.
Yes. So he contacts John Candy to put together the first Jamaican bobsled team, because John Candy always thought that sprinters would make the best bobsledders, and that is the catharsis of this movie.
Yes. I mean, that's basically the gist, and they go to the Olympics.
And they go to the Olympics.
And how do they get there? We're going to explain and talk about here.
Oh, my goodness.
So we kick the movie off with Darice, who is our main character, played by Leon. Mm-hmm. Just Leon.
Just Leon. Leon Robbins. Robinson? I think that's his name. Leon Robbins. Leon Robinson, yeah.
A singer, an actor. I'm not super familiar with his other work, but he's good in this. Darice, I think Bannock is his name, and he's kind of doing his morning, exercise. He's running around the island.
He played Little Richard one time.
Did he really?
Yeah, and that's something I'd want to see, the Little Richard movie. It's just called Little Richard.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like how this opening, you have kind of this Jamaican music playing,
It's like a Jamaican reggae type sort of question mark.
I don't know what you would call it. It's some kind of Jamaican music. I like it.
Yeah.
But he's running, and he has like kind of this like pseudo kind of race set up with the kids with toilet paper, and he runs through it.
Oh, he's handsome as a lion, that one man. Oh, I can look at that backside all day.
he's running through the market. These two women looking at his ass.
It's fucking Goffy's mom.
Oh, is that who that is?
Is it one of them there?
You might be right.
Yeah, or Sanka's mom. Excuse me.
Oh, Sanka's mom. Well, Sanka Coffee. Pam Grier for a second. I was like, damn, you got a good memory. I don't remember Coffee's mom.
That'd be pretty hilarious if she was in it. Yeah.
Maybe in the MDU, they're related. Yeah. Coffee, that's where she gets her name from, her brother Sanka and her the last name.
Oh, well, she puts on that Jamaican accent in Coffee.
She does, you're right. Yeah. I got this from my brother or my cousin Sanka. we'll get to Sanka, my favorite character, shortly. But yeah, Darice, he's running around the island getting ready for his big event.
And he's training and stuff. And then we get introduced to Sanka as well, because he runs over to him and he's like, he's prepping up his Rasta Rocket, which is a push cart.
Yeah, push cart, which I did read, I guess, is popular in Jamaica, kind of based off originally was kind of how they got their food around town, push carts.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. Now it's kind of a race.
Yeah, it's this weird like pod racing scene where
a little bit the
kids are like working on the push cart, and like Darice comes over to talk to him, and we're just setting up
characters.
Sanka here. That's it.
Sanka. He's the best push cart driver in all of Jamaica.
In all of Jamaica, man.
He's won 7 in a row. He's got a fucking lucky egg. He's always kissing.
Kiss that egg.
Yeah. Mwah!
He puts that fucking kid on the front of the thing when they're doing the race.
Yeah, I just want to comment on the egg, by the way. He's picking this thing out of his fucking drawers every time, like by his like dick. I don't know where he keeps this thing, if it's in his pants or in his pocket or what, but this thing must smell like nobody's business.
He keeps it up his ass where he can cushion it, where it doesn't break.
Oh my
How else is he keeping this egg on his persons and it not breaking? Even hard-boiled or otherwise.
They never do say flat out if it's hard-boiled, but yeah, this thing is fucking like, you're right. Where does
he
keep
it? It's probably made out of wood.
It's made out of rubber, actually, because I did look that up. The guy that plays him, Dougie Doug, mentioned years later he still had it.
Yeah.
Made out of rubber.
It's made out of rubber for the movie, but canonically in the film.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know if it's like
supposed to be real.
A hard-boiled egg.
It's supposed to be real. But you're right. It is this weird thing where the kid's on the front controlling it, but then there's an adult in theory on the back of it actually controlling it.
Yeah, you got to feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme. It's push cart time.
Yes, which, you know? Great callback later.
Put that in pocket for later.
Yeah, right in your pocket, right next to the egg.
Right next to the egg.
You know, two balls, an egg, and a note for later. and a dick somewhere in between. But they go down this hill.
Tree eggs, man.
Yeah, exactly. 3T Scrote from Tim and Eric, of course. But again, the music, I don't want to like keep mentioning the music, but the music is so good in this movie.
Yeah,
just
good.
The background music. There's even some singing parts that are played up for comedy later. But it really gets the blood flowing. It gets you pumped a lot of times in this film where not that the things happening on screen aren't interesting, but just, I don't know, the composing, Hans Zimmer and his crew or Turtle Taub and his fucking crew. If I even said the director's name right, they really nailed the musical elements of this film. And they're going down this fucking hill. They're passing people. Sucker's like, out of my way, Grandma!
Out of my way, Grandma.
Yeah, yeah.
He calls some guy a fruitcake at one point.
Yeah. And then, like, this Mad Max shit happens at the end of this race where this one team, this dad and his son, are just like, fuck this, and are, like, knocking into Sanka. And they just go careening into this chicken coop.
He fucking almost dies. Sanka, you're dead.
Yeah, man. Classic.
Come on. Yeah. So, and that's like a running gag throughout the whole thing.
Speaking of me and my bros watching that film, that was a line
you
said
did.
Over and over for decades. We're about to get to another one in about 5 minutes. But first, we have this big race that Doris has been training for essentially his whole life.
Yeah. So we also get introduced to Yul Brynner here, played by Malik Yoba, and Junior Belville, played by Raleigh D.
Yes,
Lewis.
Who end up becoming our kind of tertiary protagonists in this film.
They're also teammates.
Yeah.
They end up coming together.
By the end.
Against all odds, question mark.
Kinda. I kinda love
Don't
Sanka.
Touch me.
Yeah, don't touch me.
Don't touch
thing.
Me.
They like people touching him.
Yeah.
Sanka.
Yul Brynner doesn't like to be touched.
No, he doesn't. And again, we joked about it earlier, but Yul Brynner is this old Russian actor.
Yes.
Who's also bald that this guy idolizes. And
I don't think he idolizes him, does he?
I think he does, because there's some things about this character that kind of play up that maybe he's not. He has a really big heart, even though he's got that tough guy exterior.
A tough guy.
But he's not the brightest. He's very like He's very, like, in his own island. I don't know. There's a better expression I can't think of, but he's, like, in a box, kind of. So he doesn't actually know, like, he doesn't understand the outside world. And he wants to be a part of the outside world, but he doesn't really understand it.
He's got his blinders on, and he's kind of not as educated as the other guys.
Because there's a big scene later in the film that kind of plays into that. And we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But that's his character. And Sanka's from the crowd with his mother, Mrs. Coffee that you were mentioning earlier, and Doris's
Mama
wife.
Coffee.
Yeah, Doris's wife, they're hanging out. And he's like, look at Baldy there. Kill that bald guy. I'm scared of him.
Baldy.
So then they have this race. And Doris, you know, the blood's pumping. He's, again, preparing this for fucking 20 years.
Shit, man.
This is heartbreaking. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes.
Now, like, also, like, because there's this heartfelt scene between him and Doris and his wife.
Yes.
Where it's like, you know, I've been training my whole life for this. And, like, everybody wants it, but I want it more. And everybody's good, but I'm better and all this stuff. And, like, his dad was...
And
a gold medalist in the Olympics for sprinting. So it's like it's even worse that like the fault of this whole fucking race is somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's like you got it. I would have strangled Junior. I would have killed him on the fucking track.
Yul Brynner wants to because Junior trips up somehow.
He like falls. He's running and he just falls and he trips Yul Brynner.
He trips sideways.
I'm gonna laugh every fucking time
Yul
I say
Brynner.
It. And Doris, yeah.
Yeah.
And all three of them crash and burn.
They're also very clearly the front runners of the race.
Yeah.
And so, like, kind of Joe was joking. There's that other story where the fifth or sixth place guy went to the final.
The other guy in red.
And got cooked in the fucking Olympics, obviously.
He won the gold for Jamaica, so they weren't totally embarrassed.
But totally heartbroken. Doris runs to the director of the Jamaican kind of athletics department, for lack of a better term, Mr. Coolidge, Dr. Coolidge.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, come on, let's rerun the race. It was an accident.
Like,
but
can't do it.
Yeah, I've never played sports in any capacity outside of like Little League. So I am not the biggest source of knowledge on this. But my understanding is if that shit happens, you're just SOL. Like, sorry.
Fuck you. Come back in 4 years.
Literally.
He did like, what is it? What is it, the 1K or the 10K
something
or some
like
shit?
That,
He did it like in under 9 seconds or something like
under
that.
Under a minute,
a minute.
And even you'll find
like,
out later.
10 flat! And he's like, I did it in 9.9 months.
Oh, 200 meter sprint or something,
okay,
probably.
The 200 meter, yeah.
Again, used to watch the Olympics a lot.
Yeah, don't know anything, so I'm just talking out of my ass.
I know a little bit. Also, speaking of the Olympics, I kind of have fallen out of good graces with the Olympics. I don't keep up with it as much. I still respect...
You have a bad relationship with the Olympics? They owe you money?
Yeah. They came into my town and left it a shithole. But that is actually part of the reason why I don't like the Olympics as much, because they do come into places and just, they make a big ruckus, they make a town a ton of money, and they just leave this shit sitting here to rot.
Yeah.
The athletes, all the respect in the world to them. I know it's a big honor, but I just don't watch them as much. So sure. Some of the information I might be saying might be from like the 90s. It might be very wrong in 2024 here, but
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Okay,
sprinting, bobsledding. That's about the extent. Yeah.
Okay, par for the course.
Okay, there you go.
But yeah, so now Doris gets this idea from finding this picture, like we talked about earlier, of Irv Blitzer and his dad.
Who trained his dad or like was friends with his dad or some shit?
He came to Jamaica. I guess they were in the Olympics together in the 60s, I think, if the timeline. Or
it's
70s.
It's the 70s because he talks about the 72 games.
Or 12 or 15 years ago.
Where he like, well, we'll get to that later. Yeah.
Where John Candy did some shit.
Some shady shit.
Yeah. But he sees the photo, and Coolidge is like, yeah, well, he came to Jamaica because he had this crazy idea that he wants bobsledders.
Sprinters would make the best bobsledders.
Right, exactly, because they're so fast.
Yeah.
And Doris is like, ooh, I like that idea. Can I take the photo? He's like, well, bring it back. And he fucking scurries off.
Yeah, because speed is the key element. I mean, not
to start,
to start off. So yep. Like you need that speed to keep it up. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Because like as you find out in the film, they do a really good job of explaining it actually.
Which
but
is fine. I thought that was fine.
Yeah, there's like different stages to the race. Your start up, the actual race, and whatnot.
I never once said that's bullshit.
Right?
Like, it's believable.
So first, he's got to go to Sanka to kind of recruit his first player slash teammate because
he's the best push cart driver in all of Jamaica, man.
And Sokka at first is like, you want me to do what?
Ice?
Ice? Are we going to ice?
Sean, ice?
Penguins and igloos and ice?
Ice?
Sonic ice cream bars, Hulk Hogan's and ice? I've been frozen today like ice?
Break a fucking dreadlock off in an ice cream truck, ice?
When they do that later, when they're doing their fucking weather training, by the way, that is one of the biggest laughs of the film when he breaks that dreadlock off. That is so fucking funny.
I couldn't help but think of Phantasm, like when Reggie Bannister opens the fucking ice cream truck and the tall man standing there going... And, like, I could just see Sanka breaking a fucking dread off in front of
him. Oh, my God. Imagine if Clint Howard's there. He's driving the car. He's like, you guys done back there? I need to go cut off the guy from American Werewolf in London's head.
I got your ice cream cone.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And Sanka's like, thanks, man. Licks it. It just freezes on his tongue.
It's fucking Junior's head on an ice cream cone.
Oh, he's licking it.
Delicious.
But yeah, he recruits Sanka. And I kind of like this whole line. Sanka feeds Doris because Doris is kind of hemming and hawing. He's like, listen, Doris, all you gotta say is that I've known you my whole life. We've been through a whole heap together, and I really, really need you. And I like how Doris repeats it back to him, and he's like, nah, I can't do it. No way. He's like, well, you just said, nah, we're good. And they hug, and it's kind of a little, it's funny, but it's a touching moment. Mm-hmm. And now they're kind of off to the races to find fucking John Candy.
Yeah, and then like they go to the sled god.
Sled God!
They keep calling him Sled God.
This is another scene that I was just talking about that me and my brothers, for whatever, I guess we're kind of crazy a little bit here, the O'Rourkes, but
this is a big one.
This John Candy intro scene where he's listening to his fucking horse race.
By the way, just so we can get this out of the way later, because we're going to do Uncle Buck at some point.
Yeah, oh yeah.
This is
the big pancake,
this is this is after Uncle Buck.
Okay? He's washed up now, yeah.
Okay, so this is after Uncle Buck and before Home Alone.
He didn't get into polka yet.
He didn't get into, he's not a Kenosha kicker. He's not the king of the polka Midwest or whatever it is, polka kings of the Midwest. But.
Because the MDU, the movie dumps the universe, the time is not a flat circle. No. Or is a flat, however that saying goes.
I think it's one of those. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is he's a fucking bookie in this. Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. He leaves Chicago and he goes to Jamaica.
He learned it in Chicago, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. That's how he made his living.
I mean,
it might be peanuts to your dad, but it's how I earn a living.
I mean, he's doing pretty well in Jamaica, it seems like. But his horse doesn't come in. Tumbleweed does not win the race.
Macaulay Culkin's in Jamaica somewhere.
He's hanging out. Yeah. He always needs his glasses or something. Bees, I don't know.
That's after the reincarnation. Ugh. Anyway.
Now I'm going on too much of a side tangent here. But yeah, John Candy grabs that pool stick. And he takes it to this fucking radio, and this is what I'm talking about. Me and my brothers, if you're watching, Kyle, Michael, this pool stick to this fucking radio. Uh-huh! I hit so many. I'm not condoning this. I realize I'm an asshole for admitting this on this show. I was very stupid. I was easily entertained as a young man. We used to take fucking the stupidest shit that things hit it. I hit the Nintendo with the controller. I don't know what I was thinking to try to get the game to work clearly. Gotcha. That was going to fix it, obviously. Yeah,
of course, like Fonzarelli almost.
Yeah, we were Fonzarelli and shit. Me and my brothers always going, with the broom, breaking brooms and shit. Sorry, Mom. Blame John Candy. Watch Cool Runnings. Too young. We got too ramped up watching Cool Runnings. And another scene burned into my fucking brain. Just John Candy drunk at this bar being a friggin' nut while these guys are like watching like, okay.
This is like one of the only instances of comedy that I got from John Candy watching this movie.
He's pretty serious throughout.
He's pretty serious throughout this movie. And it was kind of a drag for me personally.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll get to my final thought at the end, but like he mostly plays it straight.
He's mostly straight, you're right.
And like I think that's because of like how this movie was originally pitched as like a straightforward like sports drama movie.
That is true. I did see that. That was more serious initially.
So I don't know if he like took it that way because he's got, I mean, look, John's great and he's got some really good parts and heartfelt parts in this, but he's not necessarily funny.
I get what you mean, and I'm curious to see if you expand on that later. But yeah. It's not your Uncle Buck John Candy. No, it's not your barf John Candy.
No, it's neither of them.
It's a more leveled. I feel like
it's just like John Candy being John Candy the guy.
Yeah. I could see that. I think he has some more funny parts coming up, but overall, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
It is not Uncle Buck. But they keep coming back to him. They're like harassing him in this bar, asking for help. At first, they go to talk to him, and he grabs the pool stick, so they think he's gonna attack him. But he shoots a couple rounds, and then they even fucking harass him in the bathroom.
The toilet one is great. And they scare the shit out of him. He almost has a heart attack.
And they kind of talk to him when he says he won't do it. So Sanka pieces out. But Doris, he's kind of persistent, and he pulls the photo out.
I'll come back tomorrow, and the next day after that, here's a fucking picture of you and my dad.
Yeah, exactly. And Irv, you know, wipes the fucking hair of the dog off his mouth and says, okay, I'll at least give it a shot.
He's like, you think I give a shit about the Olympics? You think I care about that poster? He fucking like rips it in half.
Oh, that had to hurt him a little inside to do that, just to prove a point. This old poster he rips off and just tears to pieces.
Yeah. I don't know what. I guess in one last bloom of effort, he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna do my dream of the American or the Jamaican bobsled team.
He's at least open to the idea. I mean, it's very clear the way they're presenting John's character in this film, Irv. He's washed away quite literally in Jamaica.
He's washed up, dude. Yeah. He's just like a drunk. He's like a bar fly making his bones off of fucking horse racing.
Literally.
That's why I said, you know, it's Uncle Buck.
On a base level, yes.
It's Uncle Buck goes tropical. That's what it is. Yeah.
Packs a couple tropical shirts. But then we get this kind of hilarious scene where they got to recruit some more people. So we go to this like town hall kind of area, and they got like 50 guys in this gym hall. And John Candy has this fucking video. He's like, all right, you want to know what bobsledding is?
Here you go.
It's this like horrible video that basically tells you all the reasons why you would never want to do it.
It's like some Buster Keaton ass fucking sketch with the music.
He's like, yeah, you're on the ice, you're going fast, 90 miles an hour, 120 miles an hour, and you're just swerving, and you're hoping that you don't screw up. And then it shows all these horrific crashes.
Oh, God. He's like, you don't break bones when you bobsled. They shatter.
Yes. And they even show, like, a final clip of, like, someone being brought out on a gurney. It says bobsledder dies in crash.
The last frame is like bobsledding's completely dangerous, don't do it or some shit.
And they're doing this like on a projector. Talk about dated, holy shit. But the lights come back on and literally everyone in the room's gone
except Sanka.
Except for Sanka, and he's like, okay, great. So then Yul Brynner walks in, missed the presentation, so he doesn't know how dangerous it is.
Don't fucking touch me, man. I'll be on your bobsled team. I'm going to the Olympics.
Just don't touch him.
Don't touch him.
And also, when he walks in, Sanka, again, I don't know why this cracks me up, but hey, Baldi's here.
Baldi's here.
And Irv's just like rolling his eyes like, okay, well, you need one more. So then here comes fucking Junior.
Now, Junior's the guy who tripped them both and ruined both of their shots to the Olympics.
Yes. And to Doris's credit, he's instantly kind of like, well, it is what it is. I'm not going to overthink it. But Yul's like looking to beat the shit out of this guy.
Doris is like over-optimistic.
I think that's his character, though.
I know, but it's just like, it's like, fuck it, man, we're going to the Olympics. Either way, it's fine, you trip me, but I'm going bobsledding now. And it's like, You're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, he is the eternal optimist. Yeah. I don't disagree with you either, because I'm kind of like, I'd be a little pissed too. I'd at least like have a conversation with this guy. Sure. But I guess he's just trying to keep the, you know, the tempers cool, because Yul Brynner's literally like going through chairs to attack this guy, and Sokka's trying to separate him. But they all agree that they're going to work together, and there's kind of a final like, hey, check out the team. And Irv's like, we're fucked.
Say hello to the first Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah. But they got to raise some money,
the only
Joe.
Jamaican bobsled.
Yeah, the only. They got to raise some money.
Yeah.
They need 20 fucking grand because Coolidge won't put the money up because he has no faith in it whatsoever.
No,
because
he's like, well,
he explains why. Yeah.
Coolidge just has a fucking banger for Candy because he's like, you embarrassed your country in the 70s. I'm not going to let you embarrass mine.
Right. They do elaborate more on it later, but essentially John Candy cheated at the Olympics, and basically it's implied that because of that, all his medals that he won previously were also taken away.
Yeah, they took it all away from him, and he became a fucking nobody. All his friends were like, fuck you, get out of my face. I mean, that's what happens. When you cheat or steal,
especially the fucking Olympics.
Yeah, but like with anything professionally, fuck you. You should be driven into the ground and shunned.
Yes, which I'm glad that they then kind of follow up on that once we get to Calgary.
Yeah, so they need that 20 grand, and they're like, there's this whole montage of like,
I think it's one of the funniest scenes. Darius
is like, has like a kissing booth, and he's like making out with this chick, and then his wife comes, and she's like, what the fuck?
And she's like,
yeah, and she's like,
Sokka strolls up. Yeah, this fucking 80-year-old woman.
Yeah. Oh, it's Granny Van Damme, dude. She took a trip to the Caribbean.
Yeah. She phase walked there, of course.
She got a tan.
I mean, that lady paid her dollar. Sanka's fucking kissing her. He's also singing, that's where you get the Jamaica's got a bobsled team.
I forget what the whole lyric is, but he's like, Jamaica's got a bobsled team.
And he names all the players in it specifically, and then some guy fucking says, I'll give you a dollar to shut up.
And that's the only dollar he makes the whole day.
Yeah.
Fucking Yul Brynner's like arm wrestling people.
This big woman, this Big Bertha-looking woman fucking beats him and takes the whole pool.
Big Bertha the bouncer with the boom boom bar fucking pulls him righto.
He probably had a couple hundred sitting there and lost because of that. Doris is like going to different investors trying to get people to like sponsor them. They all got like laugh in his face. And so they kind of just end up with like
25 bucks.
Yeah, like 2,500 bucks.
He's like, great, we only need 19,000 more.
And Junior kind of comes in, and he has this subplot to his character where he's this rich kid, and his dad basically doesn't think the Olympics, because he's out of it, so let's get down to real business, get a job, stop fucking around with this bullshit Olympics.
He doesn't support, like, his son's dreams. This guy's going for the Olympics. Like, it's not like he's starting a rock band.
Yeah, or doing, like, a beer league kind of thing.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, this is, like, a prestigious athletic event.
Yes.
And I think it's funny that his dad's like trying to control him and stuff and being like, you're going to go work for fucking Webster and Cohen or some shit, which is like some big law firm.
Right.
Which I didn't pay for all them fucking schools for you to go and run around like an idiot.
Yeah. And, you know, Junior kind of has his character arc to get where he needs to be, but he never stands up to his dad. That's his whole thing.
So then he lies to him and he sells his car. And he gets the 20 grand, and they go to fuck, and then we're off to the races at that point for sure. Now we got to train, right?
They train, and they have this little, like, push cart.
It's a push cart.
And
sled.
They have this whole bit where they find out what the positions are going to be, and I like this where,
Don Candy, like, assigns him, because he's, like, the professional. He knows who's going
to
do what.
Exactly, and Sokka's trying to argue, I'm the driver, and he's like, well, you got to, like, protect everyone's life. You got to memorize all the turns when you're out drinking. The driver's got to do this. He's like, you want that responsibility or should I make it Doris? He's like, I think Doris should be the driver.
Doris is the driver.
And I like that because it's really just driving home that, like, Doris, you want to fucking do this. You're doing it, but you're in charge. You need to take this fucking seriously.
Well,
he does.
Well, he knows that Doris will because he's very,
he's passionate.
He's passionate. He's determined, and he wants to win. And like, he's the dude for the job. He wants to
live up to his father's legacy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of montage scenes where they're trying to get better and better at this. And John Candy's got the fucking stopwatch, and he's like, not fast enough. Do it again. Do it again. They keep bringing this fucking thing up the hill.
They're like pushing him around in a fucking V-dub.
Yeah.
Bug.
At one point, he's like, yeah, we're gonna do this every day. And they're doing, like, push-ups and pull-ups. We have this funny scene where, like, Sokka's, like, finally doing the pull-ups and John Candy's actually holding his legs and shit.
That's a little later.
Oh, is that later?
Yeah. That's when they're, like, training again.
Oh,
there's, like,
that's butt-kicking time. I forgot.
There's two training montages.
Or butt-whooping time. Yeah, excuse me. But, you're right. And they finally kind of get it down pat.
You get the fucking Sokka in the ice cream truck.
Yes.
In this montage.
They get their starting time down 5-9, which is, I think, one of the funnier John Candy scenes to me, because they kind of go down this hill at such a ridiculous speed they can't stop. The brakes are out.
They crash into a cop car.
Yeah, the cops don't believe him, of course. Yeah. But then John Candy runs down with the timer.
Like, this is my team. What are you talking about?
Yeah. 5-9, 5-9, you did it. Get out of my way.
He pushes the cop out of the way. That was pretty funny. Yeah.
Bring it back up to the top, boys. Yeah. So they train for a couple months or whatever, and they get the money, and they go. And now they're kind of heading to Calgary, but none of them are really prepared whatsoever.
Have no clue what, like, one of the funniest parts, they're, like, walking through the air terminal.
John Candy's got the appropriate clothing on, the heavy coat.
He's got the attire on, yeah.
The scarf.
The McAllisters are running down the other terminal to get to their flight.
Exactly.
But they go to walk out. And the doors open, and this giant fucking gust of wind with all the snow drift, like, comes in, and they, like, stop. And Sonka, like, fucking, like Benny Hill's on, like, a bunch of fucking sweatshirts and stuff so that he can brace the cold.
He runs out with the fucking entire duffel bag over his head, and they have, like, you know, breathing. You know, it's fucking 10 degrees out or whatever. I think it says, like, 10 degrees Celsius.
It's negative 25.
Oh, that's what it is. Oh, my God. Celsius, by the way. Yeah. And then they're like, Sonka, what are you smoking? I ain't smoking. I'm breathing, man. that is one of those jokes, like, yeah, they're Jamaican. I feel like they couldn't say it because it was a Disney movie, but it is, like, I feel like heavily implied Sonka's fucking ripping in that shed he has.
Yeah, dude.
Which, whatever, that's just me being a star, finding connections to things that are funny to me personally.
Well, that's part of their religion.
Yeah. But then there's a quick scene of them getting, like, the big-ass jackets while John Candy goes to sign them up.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, yeah. Yeah, they get him a bunch of stuff from, like, that sports outfitter. He gets him the right shoes that only grips on the front.
For the ice? Yeah. Rip with your toes!
And they're, like, they're literally on, like, an ice rink. That's kind of funny when Yul Brynner, the hockey guy, like, runs into him and he knocks him down. That's
and Junior's holding on to Yul Brynner. Look at my progress!
Don't touch me!
Because it's one thing to be running fast, but yeah, on ice, like, if they don't even know how to walk, running's not going to mean shit.
No, and you have to run on your toes with those shoes. Like, that's the grippy part.
Right.
Then they see that night practice.
Oh, the Swiss. Yeah. Doris kind of becomes obsessed with the Swiss team, their style, how good they are, the way they do things.
Yeah. Also, just real quick, we didn't mention, but when they get to Calgary, get into the place for the tryouts or the preliminaries or whatever... John Candy sees Roger and Kurt and that other guy.
Oh, yeah, we should mention that. That's important. Yeah.
So Kurt was John Candy's coach.
Yep.
And then Roger was, like, his friend. And Kurt's basically like, fuck you, get out of my face.
And that other guy, Larry, is kind of also Larry. Like, fuck you.
He's like, Jesus Christ, sir, what the hell happened here?
Well, because he's fat now.
Yeah. And so his buddy Roger from those three, like, hook him up with, like, a training sled.
Which, again, like I said earlier, in reality, they were welcomed more with open arms, whereas now it's like he had to basically beg for this fucking sled.
And, like, give him, like, money under the table and it's like this bucket of bolts. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So then they kind of get to their first day where they're going to start practicing on the real snow.
Everybody's looking at them.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
They are out of place. They're literally the only black guys there. They're from this hot climate in Jamaica.
They got this fucking, like, piece of shit bobsled that's, like, not painted. It looks like it's, like, put together with, like, bolts. It looks like the fucking go-kart from Unluckiest Leprechaun.
Oh, God, right? I mean, we even have a scene when they first get it, and they're all, like, looking at it, and Irv, like, pulls, like, a sheet off it, like, it's a big reveal, and they're like,
They think they're getting the Swiss cart.
Yeah,
cart.
Extra one,
like, wow,
yeah.
It's beautiful.
And then Doris is the only one that's like, it's beautiful. Yeah. Whatever. He's trying to get into the mentality.
Overly optimistic,
but... He's going to need that optimism, Joe, because this is the first time they're on the ice and they instantly whiff this shit.
Well, they put, and it's a push start. John Candy push starts him.
They don't whiff it yet. Yeah. First, they get the push start, and Sonka doesn't know what he's ready for because this fucking thing starts moving at 80 miles an hour, and Sonka's like, I hate you, Doris, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you.
We missed the introduction of Joseph Gruhl.
Oh, this East German guy. Watch Turn 12, though.
So Peter Outerbridge plays Joseph Gruhl. And this is, before the show, I was like, I want to tell you what I think this is.
Okay.
This is like a kid's version of Robot Jocks.
You know, the thought actually crept into my mind a little bit.
He's Alexander. Joseph Gruhl is Oh, Jamaica, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, would you put some training wheels on that bobsled? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he kind of is that character. He is just very antagonistic. Again, there is a little bit of that, like, racism element. They don't ever flat out say. I think John Candy does a little bit later, but generally speaking, it's just like, well, they're different. They've never been here before, I think, is the larger point.
Watch out for that turn 12. Scary,
yeah? Yeah. Cut to Sanka screaming, like I was saying, as they hit turn 12, and then just, there's like a sheet over the
fucking crash!
Yeah. Over the tunnel so you can't see it, they crash. And before they go, get pushed by Irv, Sanka mentions he's got to take a leak, and he's like, well, you're in the sled, it's a little too late. And speaking of too late, it's too late!
Yeah, sure, he pisses all over himself. Yeah. But that's like at the end when they're like, they're doing the first, that's like the first race,
that's
and
what I'm talking about,
and they
yeah.
fucking choke big time.
Well, they crash.
Yeah.
But then you're right, there is that second race where, again, they're not really races, there's a lot of practice they're doing to kind of get accustomed to the whole,
how it works and
yeah, how it
and,
works and the course, the course,
the feel for the course. Yeah, we get a few hotel scenes, and this one's pretty great because Junior and Yule are kind of at odds still because Yule's like, oh, you know, you fucking cost me the race. I'm not in the Olympics, but they're still at their Olympics or whatever. And he has this whole thing where he's like, I still don't like you or whatever.
It's not the reason he wanted to go.
Stay out of my way kind of thing.
But this is where he also talks about how he wants to get the fuck off the island.
Yeah. Yule Brenner's like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be somebody. I'm not going to be a dock worker on the island anymore, blah, 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 blah. And he pulls out this fucking picture. He's like, I'm going to go here, man. And Sokka's like, bro, that's a fucking picture of Buckingham Palace.
Which is kind of funny.
He's like, you know who lives there? The Queen lives there. The Queen of England.
I always laugh at that part, and then I like immediately feel really bad because it's like, man, this guy just wants a better life.
You just pop that fucking bubble, dude. You shattered that dream.
And this is kind of like what you were alluding to, where Junior kind of is trying to be the bigger guy or a nice person, really, just in general, and kind of takes this picture that Yule just crumples up in embarrassment and kind of uncrumples it and says, you know what, Yule, like, don't give up on your dreams. Like, you could have your palace. And that kind of creates this bond between them.
Yeah. Hard work and determination will get you where you want to go.
Yeah.
Eventually.
You might not
it's a good message.
Yeah. You might not get in Buckingham Palace, but the idea is there. Like, focus on the idea.
But he says you'll get your palace.
Right.
Not necessarily Buckingham. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then we do have that scene. If it's not right after this, it's shortly after where they do their first run, where they do slip and break their ass on the ice, and it's photographed, and it's embarrassing to the country. And Coolidge is, like, shaking his head, like, I can't believe this. This is what I was worried about. But this is also where Junior's father, who thinks
sees it on fucking, in the paper.
In the paper. He thinks he's in Miami working at this law firm, and he fucking throws it down.
Son of a bitch.
And he kind of goes on his way, but we do get a couple more of these hotel scenes.
Well, we get the Robot Jocks bar first.
Yes, the bar. They're all going out. Doris doesn't go out because he's doing what John Candy recommended, where the driver's
studying.
Focus on these pictures of the different turns.
So Sanka, Yule, and Junior go down to this bar. Oh my God.
Sokka's doing fucking line dancing
with this, and he's like hitting on this chick.
They switch hats.
They switch hats at one point. I swear to God, dude, Joseph Gruhl's there and he's fucking Alexandering all. He's like, Jamaica, I've already killed you.
Yeah, pretty much. And he's like making
it's like, why don't you go back to Jamaica, you piece of shit?
Literally. Yeah. And Junior kind of just like backs off, doesn't want to cause a scene, kind of sheepish. So Yule's like, all right. Meets him in the bathroom.
You're a joke, yeah?
So Junior's like in the bathroom and Yule comes and finds him. And I really like this scene where he kind of says to him, like, no, like, you got to get over yourself. You're not some like pissant person that can be walked over like a carpet. You have pride. You have power. You're a badass mother who doesn't take no shit from nobody.
It's great. And like he hypes him up in the
keeps
mirror.
Saying it to him.
And he fucking storms out of the bathroom, and Yule's like, oh, shit.
Right, now he's got himself amped up.
He's all amped up.
Say the mantra.
So he goes back to Joseph, and he's like, hey, man. He's like, we got a much, or you, he says something like,
I'm not going to let you talk to me like that.
I'm not going to let you talk to me like that or whatever, and you better apologize or else. And he's like, else what, Jamaica? Else what?
I love this shot, by the way, because he kind of backs up and kind of falls.
Yeah. And he pushes him on the ground.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Joseph pushes him over.
And then you just see the fucking boots walk up, and it pans up to his face, and he's like,
say something, Jamaica.
Yeah.
No problem, man. And he fucking just meat fists him right in the face.
You know. again, not based on real life. I feel like if this really happened, you're instantly disqualified, everyone involved. But again, it's a movie. Even Sokka gets involved. He jumps in like it's a fucking concert or something.
Achilles and Alexander are fucking clinking glasses over on the side.
Right, exactly, exactly. And then they get fucking yelled at by Irv, like, you guys got to take this seriously. Like, this could have been a serious incident. I told the bar owner you guys were all mentally ill, so he's not pressing charges. They're like, ooh, because they're kind of laughing about it.
Mm.
And then Irv's like, here comes that butt whipping. He goes, oh, you guys are going to need some serious butt whipping. Start taking this seriously.
I love this shot because it's John Candy in his hotel room, and they sneak in. And immediately, I thought about the scene in Uncle Buck where all the kids come in and, like, sleep with him. And I just imagine, like, the Jamaicans, like, sleeping all over John Candy and them all changing positions to, like, Mr. Sandman.
Oh, my God, like, March of the Wooden Soldiers almost. But they hold up this, like, Looney Tunes-ass, like, alarm clock, like, from off camera, and he wakes up,
time for the butt whooping.
Yeah, all above him. It's rise and shine. It's butt whooping time. And, you know, another montage scene. And
this is the one where they're training again, and they're training on the ice, and they're doing the pull-ups and the
yes.
I don't know what, John the leg presses.
John Candy's making snowballs, and he gets throwing snowballs in his face.
Yeah.
And I think this is where the quote on the box, the DVD here, and I think it's on the back of the VHS, says, Rocky on ice. It's like, this is the only scene I could maybe make that correlation because it's a fucking montage scene.
They're
underdogs.
Yeah, but they're not like running down a mountain or like punching a piece of meat.
That's true.
They're like in a bathtub and like going over the fucking turns shit.
I'm just trying to correlate the quote on the box.
It's Rocky on ice.
low-hanging evaluation, I suppose. Guess so. So then we kind of get to the scene where they're going to do their trial to find out if they qualify or not.
Which is really sweet because John Candy's there and he's like, look, we got here, but if you're going to be a bobsled team, you got to be a real bobsled team. So he gives them like their uniforms, which is fucking cool.
They look cool.
Yeah.
And then they find
out. Can't hurt me when I'm wearing these Jamaican colors.
John Candy also has a Jamaican flag scarf he wears the entire movie, which
deep,
I like.
Deep cut, by the way, from the Juggernaut bitch.
You gonna get hurt by my pimp kid one way or another.
Not as long as I'm wearing these Jamaican colors.
That's what that's for.
Oh my God, classic video. I'll catch up, motherfucker.
ain't that a bitch?
Yeah. But yeah, so they also find out last second, almost like another barrier in front of them that they have to leap over, is that, oh, well, previously you had to get a 1 minute and 2 second time. Now you have to get a minute flat.
Like, what a dick. And then Kurt's like, and the judge, this is one judge, this is the other judge, and guess what? I'm the other judge.
Yeah, your buddy Roger, who was supposed to do this, or whoever the fuck it was supposed to be, the guy he talked highly of previously, got sick.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was sick today. I'm going to be the last judge, so fuck you and your Jamaican team.
They get kind of a bad start, and I've seen this 100 times, like I said, but it makes you a little nervous, like, oh, shit, are they really going to qualify? But
he fucking goes, no problem, man, John Candy.
Oh, John Candy, yeah. And like I said, they start the run, and they start off kind of bad, but they make it up in the actual run, and they kind of get, like, I think it's like 59.4.
Yeah, it's right 50, under. It's 59.46 or something like that, and it's just like, holy shit, like, they cleared it. Dude is so fucking, he's seething in his little cubby his binoculars. He's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, Kurt. Meanwhile, John Candy yells so loudly in excitement that the other judge, like, fucking, like, is like, ugh!
He's like, sorry. I'll see you later, Bob.
Yeah. So then we get the sled painted this time. I don't know where they got the funds for that, because I used the last $5,000 to get the sled.
Beats the shit out of me.
I've been to Michael's. The shit ain't cheap, especially stuff to go on metal.
Like it's fully finished.
Whatever.
It's really nice. What do you think, man? What are we calling a...
Tallulah.
Tallulah. That sounds like a $2 whore, man.
Junior goes, that's my mother's name.
Tallulah. Yeah, we'll name it Tallulah.
Yeah. And then Dorice, of course, with the title of the movie, says he wants to call it Cool Runnings
TM. Dude. Peace be the journey.
Which is a good message. They all like it. And then one of their friends, or so they think, comes in, guy in the orange jacket.
Yeah.
To deliver some important news that they've been disqualified.
Yeah. By the way, here you go. It's
So Irv is pissed. He kind of charges through some doors to a big meeting and calls Kurt out on it. Like, what the fuck? Like, is this some racist shit? Is this just, like, anti-Jamaican shit because they're from, like, because they're outsiders? Like, what is this? Is this because you hate me?
Well, because there's a bunch of black guys, he says to him. And he's like, and the one dude's like, ooh.
I mean, and then he's like, if it's because you hate me because I screwed you and it made you look bad, I'm really sorry. I made a fucking mistake. I wish I could take it back every day of my life. He carries it on his back. But he's don't like, take that on my guys.
Yeah,
you know?
And he, like, I let my coach down, and he kind of pours himself out in front of all these dudes at this round table discussion, and makes them all feel like a bunch of assholes because they fucking are.
Well, especially Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kurt's like, okay.
And I love how when he leaves, he's like, I'm sorry I interrupted your meeting.
Yeah.
And then we see them in the hotel room, basically all their bags packed. They got the fucking plane tickets ready to leave, just waiting for that phone call.
But John Candy's so good in that scene, in the meeting room scene. And it's like, and like I was saying before, like, it's less comedy, more drama. And like, he does a really good job.
I do wonder, and maybe this is online somewhere, maybe he did interviews about this before his death, but I wonder if maybe John was trying to move into more serious roles. I know he did JFK as a serious role. And I'm sure if you really look at his list of movies, he's probably done a ton, but maybe he was trying to kind of move into that territory. Cause this is kind of, he has some funny lines, but he's mostly playing it straight.
Like, I wonder if he was like, oh shit, there was a Jamaican bobsled team and this guy helped him get there. Well, yeah. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna play the series like this guy's a real coach and stuff.
Maybe.
It's all bullshit.
But the point is, they get the call. They're back in. Yeah. He kind of fucks with them at first, just being, I don't know. You know, they got the call,
like,
but
okay, we're back in. Okay.
Yeah, and then they all hug, and we go to the first day. And they're walking up, and I love how we kind of cut back to the home team. And a lot of sports movies do this. Mm-hmm. We're back in Jamaica, and the whole crew there.
Everybody's down at Mama Coffee's, dude. They got the TV on. They're all gathered around.
Yes, and John Candy even makes a big point about this in his speech to the Olympic committee that, you know, these guys deserve to carry their flag. It's a proud moment for them. Yeah. They deserve to represent their country, and we actually get to see that.
They earned it. Cool. Yeah, they earned it, yeah.
Which, you know, if you've watched the Olympics, it's always a big thing, the opening ceremonies. They're always kind of interesting to watch. And then we kind of get right into it. We start bobsledding, Mon. And
we are on fucking live television, Mon.
Yes.
Okay.
This first one goes fucking horribly because Doris is so, like, with the blinders on about the Swiss. Like, I got to be like the Swiss. They're the number one. If we just mimic them, we'll be just as good.
He's hitting them all on the head. He's like, this is how the Swiss psych themselves up. And he completely spooks the whole team, and they're, like, all fucking nervous now. So they perform like shit, and they come in last place.
Their start time's, like, 11.4. It takes them forever to get in. Yeah. Like, Junior's, like, got his ass hanging out for the first 10 seconds. Yeah. It's bad. And they get basically shit on by the announcers. And there's actually a couple funny lines in response from, like, Mrs. Coffee and from Doris's wife, kind of like, oh, you better shut up. I can't even do it justice. But it's funny as shit in the context of, like, wow, you kind of feel bad for these guys. And then Irv just says to him after the fact, like, you guys choked.
He's like, you fucking choked. He's like, there's nothing. I can't teach you how to be loose out there. Yeah. I taught you everything that there is to know about it. It's all on you. Get out of your fucking heads and do it.
Yeah. And he kind of storms off disappointed. And then Doris trying to kind of raise spirits. Also, by the way, Doris just straight up wearing fucking Swiss tracksuit. He's got the red fucking Adidas tracksuit.
Oh, yeah.
Which I never noticed before, but now I'm like thinking about it more for the context of the review. Like, I was like, oh shit.
This is how we win and blah, 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 blah. And like basically Sanka just gives him this kind
of. He's like, speech. The Swiss. And they all yell at him.
Yeah. Like, shut the fuck up. He's like, I'm Jamaican. I was born Jamaican. We're doing this Jamaican, basically. Doing a Cool Runnings tea.
Yeah, you're right, though. But, like, the light bulb kind of goes off in all their heads because of that conversation. And the next day, they are just fucking on fire. They're in sync.
Feeling the fucking rhythm. They're feeling the rhyme. They're singing and shit.
Right. They pull that note out of the old pocket next to the egg and the ball sack that you mentioned earlier.
They kiss that sweaty fucking stinky egg.
Yes. Well, no one really wants to kiss it this time, but Sanka absolutely kisses it.
Yeah.
And they come in like eighth place this time. They do so well.
They did a really good job.
They get like 54 seconds or some shit. A really good time.
56 to 53.
Oh, was that what it was?
I kept taking, because I was like, because I'm like trying to understand and like keep track of like, did they do better or worse?
Because it's like literally down to those like half a seconds or microseconds or whatever the right terminology would be in a lot of these sporting events.
Whatever the fuck it is.
Point seconds, yeah. So then we have our last day coming up. They're going to go out for some burgers. Doris is still studying. And we kind of get our last little moment of drama before we hit this climax here where Doris is like, you know what? I really appreciate everything, but please, I got to know why you cheated before we go to this last race. And he's like, all right, I'll tell you. And it's more or less just John Kennedy's like, well, when you start winning and everything that matters to you is winning, then you don't ever want to lose.
It's just like the most dishonorable bullshit. And like
straight up.
And like for him, it's like, you know, you do anything to win. And the fact of the matter is, if you're nothing without the gold medal, then you're nothing with the gold medal.
That's what he says to him.
You know what I mean? Straight up.
And he says to him, well, I know if I'm good enough. And Irv says, well, once you pass that finish line, you'll know.
Yeah. And that's it. And if you lose, you still gave it your best shot. You know
exactly.
What I mean? But like to, you know. again, to cheat or like kind of like slime your way in there, there's no pride or honor in any of that. And yeah. Fuck you.
And John Candy is the one that knows it. If no one else does, he knows it.
Completely ostracized.
Yeah. Deservedly so.
I'm surprised they let his ass back in there to tell you the truth.
Not a real person for the movie.
No, I know what I'm saying. If movie rules, there's all these rules that just come up. The Olympics were like, wait, aren't you that guy who cheated? No, you're not allowed to compete.
They don't let Pete Ross into anything, so... So they have the final day, and one major scene before that, this might actually have been on day one when they fuck up majorly, but Junior's father shows up and is like, you got to come home. Like I said before, we're done with this. Yeah. You're going to work for fucking Webster and Cohen. And Junior's kind of like, he's kind of being kind of like a little dog just following him at first, but then he kind of like... If you can miss it if you're not totally paying attention, but as he's in the elevator, he grabs the door and
he says
to himself, pride, power.
Well, there's a mirror.
Fast.
There's a mirror in the elevator, and he sees himself, and he kind of it's like call a callback to the bathroom scene.
That's true.
It's cool. He stands up for himself against his dad, and he's like, "I'm my own man, and I'm gonna do this." And goodbye.
Yeah.
And the fucking door just closes on dad, and dad's like, "Wait a minute."
I mean, his dad also says some pretty cold shit to him, where he's like, "Dad, what do you really think about me?" And he's like, "You want the honest truth?"
He's like, "You're a little scared boy."
Yeah, you're a loser.
Yeah,
it's like, oh. It's like,
okay, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, it's like, I know his dad like meant the best for him, but that was some harsh shit.
Well, he said, the worst part is like, I know what's best for you. Right. And it's like, you don't know what's best for this grown-ass man. He's got to live his own fucking life.
Again, he's in the mother fucking Olympics. Yeah. You couldn't just give him those 3 months and then get him a job.
It's always so weird to me because it's like, all right, just finish what you're doing and then we'll go get you the job at whatever.
Yeah. I mean, from a storytelling standpoint, maybe you could argue that that's some manufactured drama, but I could totally see some rich guy putting his fucking kid through that. So I kind of buy it, but... It does feel like it's a little forced, but yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I think it's a more of like an embarrassment thing. Like they think he's gonna like embarrass himself and lose, so it's like,
yeah,
you know,
that's what I'm saying. That might have actually happened after the first night when they fuck up royally.
Probably.
That.
Well, that's why he went down there.
Yeah,
because he sends him the telegram too, and he's like, "Come back home, or I'll fucking kill you."
Right, yeah. Right. And then we get this last day where now they have to like basically try to prove that they are worth it.
We're gonna feel the rhyme, cut on up, it's bobsled time.
They got fucking t-shirts, people got cool runnings t-shirts on.
I'm Jamaican today, are you Jamaican, Cliff? And yeah, he's like, I'm Jamaican too.
The color commentator's even like, screw it, go Jams. He would not be allowed to do that, by the way. He would get in so much trouble.
Go Jamaica.
I don't know if he'd get fined, but they'd be pissed. Yeah. And then, they're going around, everyone's cheering, the adrenaline's pumping, which also didn't mention this before, but every one of these bobsled scenes is shot unbelievably.
It's really good. It's really good.
It literally puts you in that sled.
Right, like now you're like, oh, fuck it, we'll just stick a GoPro on it or something, or even like a small camera, but like, this is a fucking honking-ass Panavision stuck in a bobsled like, going down the chute.
Close up on their faces, on their heads, you get just the first-person view a few times. Yeah. It's really well done. And then they crash. Like we've been talking about this whole episode, that's the most famous thing. Again, the only thing that really actually happened. They used some of the original footage, but like I said earlier, it was only a two-man sled. So they kind of have to be very specific about what angles they can show.
Dude, when they fucking... This part really pisses me off, because you follow these guys, and it's this underdog story, and you're like, yeah, this is great, and we're going to do this, and they've against all odds, they did this shit. And then, because of the rickety-ass... bobsled, they painted it to look nice, but nobody thought to check the fucking bolts on the inside.
Grab a wrench.
This bolt comes off, and one of the sled skis breaks, and these fucking guys tip over, and their heads are, like, smashing against the side of the luge.
Yeah, they're getting fucking burned on there, ice burn.
Their fucking necks are, like, bobbing and breaking and shit. I'm like, these guys are dead.
Another thing about what happened in real life that I just remembered was that it wasn't because something broke. It was just because they weren't experienced enough. but hey, let's at least change it for the movie. I feel like
irony.
They probably had this scene done first and then wrote the rest of the movie around it,
I guess so.
But I have zero evidence to prove that.
Yeah.
But they crash and they're all kind of fucked up and we kind of get a little reversal of the line that's been repeated over and over again in this film. Sanka this time says to Doris, "You're dead, Doris." No man.
He's just like, well, I'm getting up and I'm going to finish this race. So they all get out of the fucking
right,
bobsled.
Right, because it's a callback to Samuel Irv's like, well, when you've crossed that line, somebody has to do it.
I mean, it's pretty honorable, too. It's
poignant.
It's a great scene. They get out and they carry the bobsled across the finish line and fucking Yosef's there and he's like, yeah, that was fucking great.
Jamaica. He starts the slow clap of all people and then we even get all like the pissy characters that hate them, like Larry and Kurt, who like even smiles like the Grinch or some shit. Roger, of course, instantly claps.
He earns the respect, basically.
Junior's like, dad's there in the crowd. He pulls the shirt open. It's touching.
Yeah, but they were really good. Like, they were... He's like, it's like they're possessed. They're going so fast.
Right, before they crash, yeah.
And Yosef's like, oh, I want a piece of you. So he's like, come back in 3 years, Jamaica. See you in 3 years, Jamaica.
Right, yeah. Four.
Or 4 years, Jamaica, whatever.
Yeah. Olympics.
I've already killed you, Jamaica.
And then the movie kind of wraps the fuck up. Like I said, actually, let me mention one more thing.
Yeah.
And then in real life, they didn't actually carry it like that. They kind of just pushed it along the ice and walked by, and they just got a couple of claps again. They were almost in last place.
Yeah,
it wasn't right.
Everybody went home.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't this big underdog story again. Disney worked their fucking magic.
Yeah.
But
we got Jamaica. We got you.
Oh, careful. Only Steamboat Willie's royalty free. Get in trouble for that. Yeah. Watch, we'll get demonetized for that.
Could you believe it? Fuck.
But we get this final freeze frame, classic John Candy freeze frame of the whole team, of the photograph of them at the end with John Candy being put on the wall by Dr. Coolidge.
That's a Christmas present that you're going to receive in the future.
I would fucking love that. I'm not even going to lie.
As soon as I saw it, I'm like, I got to make that for Sean.
Just on a side note, just because we're talking about things that need to be printed out and put somewhere, there's this movie, fucking Loose Cannons, I watched. I talked to Joe about it before. Don't think it'll ever be an episode. It might be something eventually.
Maybe a mini-sode or something.
There's this, Dan Aykroyd's in it, and there's a fucking mural in that movie of Dan Aykroyd doing different poses. It is fucking, I need to find it and send it to you. It is hilarious. That is another thing we need to print.
It'll go right next to the fettuccines
of
Ghostbusters.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's Cool Runnings with a Loose Cannon sign tangent.
They have this last card. So it fades out. You see
to show
picture,
you what really happened.
And they're like, what does it say? Jamaica went home as heroes and returned to the Olympics as equals.
Again, in reality, they were welcome with open arms, so I guess that final title card is very much like a Texas Chainsaw.
Did they ever go back?
No, they did.
Oh, they did.
I didn't write it down. If you look it up, they went back a bunch of times. And again, I feel like 87 was actually the second time, but don't quote me on that.
John Larroquette's there. He's like, in 1987, there was a Jamaican bobsled team. Yeah. And then we kick up the fucking, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. And
the Jamaican cover,
I heard that so many times, like in the 90s.
It was a big hit.
It was a hit.
But it was made for the movie.
It was made popular by, like, it charted because of the movie, which I thought was kind of nuts. I didn't realize that. Anyway.
Well, I remember reading that I think it was made for the movie.
Was it really?
Part
of the soundtrack? Interesting. So where are we putting this, man?
I mean, it's on the fucking shelf. It's been on the shelf for like 30 years for me personally. I feel like I've already kind of beaten that point home during this review. What else can I really say? The comedy is there for me. Maybe you don't get a full John Candy going crazy kind of comedy, but I like all the Jamaicans. Sanka especially cracks me the fuck up with that egg and just the one-liners. The guy is just full of one-liners, and I'm just curious how much of that was written, how much was just this guy, Dougie Doug, just fucking firing
just
off stuff.
Just ad-libbing,
because he was a stand-up comedian going into this, and he did other stuff like Cosby, and he was actually in Dr. Giggles. I forgot to mention
that. Dr. Giggles, but he's also in Eight-Legged Freaks, too.
Eight-Legged Freaks. Yeah. I mean, a bunch of these guys were in a few things, but in particular, Sanka is one I always go back to of characters I really enjoy in movies. And we don't really cover too many films like this on the show, but this is one that has stuck with me for a long time. So I feel like it fit the bill for what we try to do a lot of times on here. Something that brings a lot of nostalgia and means something to me. And also, I feel like it's a movie that, like I said earlier, not a lot of people talk about anymore, even though it was this kind of phenomenon at the time. So it's not like it wasn't warranted. And I think you should revisit this one. If what we said was interesting to you, or if you're getting that kind of Olympic fever, this video will be evergreen. So the Olympics come by every 2 years
or every four. You know, we're going to be posting about it when the Olympics hit.
Yes, exactly. It's a feel-good comedy. It's a family comedy that has some jokes that'll go over your kids' heads. But I like it a lot, and I'm happy to finally have covered it.
There you go, man. I don't want to put this in the dumpster, But I feel like I'm probably never going to watch it again.
Really?
After this. I think it was fine. Mm. Like I had a decent amount of time, but I wasn't like, I think I laughed out loud like once.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if that was just because of the type of mood I'm in or whatever. There's nothing wrong with it.
No, yeah.
It's just, it's fine.
I could have my nostalgia glasses on too, to be fair.
Yeah, but that's also okay. I mean, I remember this permeating the social zeitgeist where like,
it was on all the time.
I know what it is. It was yeah. on all the time. And like, there are some kind of funny things, and the kiss my egg thing is funny. And, you know, breaking the dreadlock off is funny. And I think that my problem is, it's like, it doesn't know what it, for me personally, I don't think this movie knows what it wanted to be. Is it a comedy or is it a drama? I feel like all the comedy is coming from the, caricatures of Jamaican people.
That's
where all the comedy's coming from.
That is true. And yeah. Now that could be a thing that if someone watched that and that took them out of it, like this is a little bit too much of a stereotype. I could totally understand that.
I'm not saying
because all these guys pretty much are from New York. They're not from Jamaica.
No, they all have pretty good Jamaican accents. Yeah. I'm not saying that hurts the film for me. It's just I'm saying like that's where all the comedy comes from.
Yes. No. I
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
For John Candy, a fucking titan of comedy, he's not very funny in this, and it's kind of a bummer for me. Because like I feel like they should have just leaned full in on that because like I said earlier, like this was conceived as like a sports drama about a fucking thing that never existed.
Well, whatever. It did exist, but this only on base level.
Yeah, but this isn't like Remember the Titans or something. You know what I mean? So
not even Little Giants.
It's not. Was that based on a true story?
No, just a bad joke. Just trying to make you break a little there, Joe.
You got me.
Or crack. I should say crack.
Oh, yeah. You don't crack the egg, though. That's the thing. Yeah, it's fine. I think it's fine. I think it's worth it. If you've never seen it, definitely check it out. And, of course, if you're a big fan like Sean, I mean, I think maybe it's time for you're due for a rewatch if you haven't watched it in a while. It's definitely the weather, baby. We got snow again, and it's just ice, igloos, penguins.
We got ice.
We
got Hulk Hogan again. Suburban Commando shit. That's what it makes me think of Suburban Commando for some reason.
I was frozen today.
Yeah.
The famous lost episode of Movie Dumpster.
Maybe it'll return.
Maybe
in some capacity.
Maybe it will return. Maybe this year. Maybe next year.
I'm sad.
I'm struggling to say more things about it because, like, it's just okay. I don't like the ending because, like, I wanted to see them win.
I think that's why I said Bad News Bears earlier. It is kind of that thing they lose, but they have a glory kind of moment at the end. Like, Bad News Bears lose the championship, but they're happy anyway.
It's fake anyway.
It's literally
it never had like
as well just change
it happened question mark. But like this story in particular didn't really happen. So like I would have liked them to see like. I don't know. At least get bronze or something. I think that would have been cool, but they would have been like, hey, Jamaica didn't win bronze for bobsledding. And then they had to make them lose because they would have been like, well, where's the medal?
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Or where is that in the fucking, in the book? And in the sports almanac?
Right. I don't know. We have to ask Biff. I'm not sure, actually.
Make like a tree and bobsled out of here. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
The shoe is on the other foot, and I'm a little sad, but I understand totally where you're coming from, because I feel like I say the shoe's on the other foot, because a lot of times you'll show me these things that you grew up with, and I'm like, I get it, but I didn't like it, and like I said, it's kind of interesting to hear that perspective.
I didn't say I didn't like it, I'm just not like...
Yeah.
I just wasn't like, wow, this was really funny, I had a great time.
I think that's fun. What I mean,
It was like, it's an okay way, again, there's a lot of good messages in it, and it made me feel good, a lot of the parts between Junior and Yul Brynner. And
I wonder what that guy's real name was.
I don't know. Yul Brynner.
Baldy.
From Jamaica.
What part of Jamaica?
Right near the beach. Yeah. Boy. it's good. It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah. And with that said, if you want some more Movie Dumpster content, you can head over to patreon.com/moviedumpster and sign up for as low as $2 a month to get yourself an ad-free version of the audio version of the show. Plus, we got all kinds of stuff like watch-alongs, live watch-alongs. The archive of all the ones we've done is on there. And commentary tracks, another thing we've got on there, plus a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff. So check it out, patreon.com/moviedumpster.
You sure can. And if you want to follow what the Dumpster Boys are doing, you can follow us at Movie Dumpster on your favorite social media platforms, or you can go to moviedumpsterpodcast.com. You can get the lowdown on the events, the appearances we're going to be at, the new episodes, and all that kind of good stuff.
And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, leave us that 5 stars and a review if you can. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave a like and subscribe. Share the video with your friends. It really does help get us out of the bottom of the dumpster into more eyeballs, eardrums, and everything in between. We really do appreciate it.
So that's it. That's Cool Runnings from 1993, directed by John Turteltaub. I'm Joel Escola.
And I'm Sean O'Rourke.
Thanks for visiting the dumpster.